That was beautiful. Thank you. We have a guest speaker this morning. Reverend Raz is from Mile High. He's been a minister for 14 years. He was the operations leader at Mile High when they really took their big growth spurts. Reverend Raz has been involved at the very deepest level in all of the machinations of an 8,000 member church. Is it 8,000? 10,000. I'm making them smaller than they are. Reverend Raz is the education leader at the time. He is the dean of the Denver campus of the Holmes Institute. He is my mentor, but more importantly, Reverend Raz is my friend. And I would like all of you to please join me in giving Reverend Raz a warm Alaska welcome.
Thank you, my friend.
It's great to be here. Looks a little different than Thursday night. You put the food away and set up the chairs. It's just really an honor to be here. I have been getting a lot of windshield time with Reverend Don here. He's shown me all over the place. He's shown me enough that I want to come back. So I love this place. It's awesome. They tell me Colorado used to look like this until all the people came. So not as many people up here. But it is gorgeous. Haven't seen a moose yet or a bear, but that's all right. I'll come back. I hear you have them. That's the rumor. Somewhere. So I'm here to do a talk today on renewing your mind, one thought at a time. It's also the title of the book that Dr. Roger wants me to write, our senior minister. So one of these days I'll get around to it. But I love the concept. I love Science of Mind. I walked into the doors of one of these centers 28 years ago. Was not looking for a church, was not interested, really was really done with church. Some of you might be able to relate, but there were several things that happened. One is the announcement guy was funny, kind of like Reverend Don here. The music was great, and it felt like the minister was talking to me. You know, sat in the back row, like a lot of you, cried for the first few times, but I felt like I came home. And then I started taking the classes, and that's when everything started to change. And that's what I want to talk about today, renewing your mind. Why renewing your mind? I don't know about you all, but I had a committee in my head. Anybody else have a committee? Yeah, you know, I encourage you to fire them, as a matter of fact. You can. You can actually let that committee go and hire a new committee. So that's what renewing your mind is all about. I do the inner child journey. It's why I actually came to this particular center in Colorado Springs. I was early in my recovery, about 4 years into addiction recovery, and I had been going to John Bradshaw and had done a few workshops with him. So the inner child journey really inspired me. That's why I went. And once I heard this teaching, it took a year and a half before I actually ever took it. But what I can tell you about that is now I facilitate the inner child journey, and renewing your mind is all about realizing that you're born on a foundation of love. That's I could show you pictures. I have a new grandchild, but I won't go there. Just 2 weeks old, just like Elliot is pretty new to the planet, so that's very cool. But you know, when we're born on that foundation of love with awe and wonder. You know, there's nothing in the way. You know, we haven't learned fear. We haven't learned how to isolate. The committee isn't formed yet. You know, we have a bit of a direct connection with our infinite source. And there's not much in the way of us, you know, receiving and experiencing the abundance of life. So why renew? To get back there. To get back to that place where we believe and we accept that we are more than the voices in our head. Why one thought at a time? One day at a time was way too long. I don't know about you, but them thoughts are going like this. And I have a whole lot of thoughts in one day. And I had a few I needed to let go of. So today what I want to offer you is that we can renew. Because it's really about, and I've created an acronym for you. Dr. Roger Teal, our senior minister at Mile High, is the dean of the acronymic university. So we all use them. So I have an acronym for you. Hopefully it'll help you remember this. Because R in renew is for remembering who you are. Remembering who you are. It's the very first step. You know, we have so many messages, so many voices. I like to walk around. I have a big platform at home, so it's kind of fun to get a little closer to you. They told me not to get in front of these speakers, though, or we'll have all sorts of feedback, which was great in the days of Led Zeppelin, but probably not as much today. So remembering who you are is really about releasing some of these voices, actually challenging them. And, you know, I didn't know I could do that. I thought I had to just listen to everything I was taught and operate from that place. And what I came to find out is I could challenge every thought I was ever given. And I could actually look at my thoughts, my attitudes, my beliefs. And, you know, maybe some of them weren't right. You know, the world has been full of a lot of interesting experiences these days. And, you know, fear and hate, prejudice, isolation, these are things that are learned. They're not things we're born with. We have to be taught. What's natural is love and connection and oneness. So remembering who we are is all about that. It's all about remembering that we're born on a foundation of love, and fear is what's gotten in the way. I knew I'd eventually take out my notes. Everybody always asks me, where do you get those notes? They just kind of live in my pocket. That's so that I don't go over the limit here of time. But, you know, some of the things that we can question is the labels that we might have been given. You know, like maybe unlovable or stupid. Trust me, your committee has a whole lot more labels than I'm even going to talk about. But what I want you to know is they're not true. It's not who you are. You aren't what you do. You're far much more. So, you know, I'm 22 years sober now. And thank you. I'd be 32 years sober except for that one night. Yeah, people in recovery always have a good laugh about that one. But what I can tell you is that we are born with all possibility. So remembering who you are is going beyond the things that we've done, because we're not those things. You know, I recently gave a very similar talk at Mile High Church, and I talked to people directly, and I said, what I want you to know, if you're struggling with addiction, that you are not that addiction. That's just something you're doing. You're doing it. You can stop doing it. And then here, you know, I go talk at treatment centers, and here's what I always share, is I said, getting sober is the easy part. Nobody likes to hear that. Because this looks like the toughest thing I've ever done in my life. Well, it is. But I tell you, what's even more interesting is challenging all the old beliefs, all the old ideas that kept me small, you know, that kept me from expressing who I was, all of those kind of things. So remembering who we are is actually tapping back into all the possibilities that live within our being. And that's why the classes Reverend Don was just talking about, every one of them will be a vehicle for opening up the space, for releasing you know, the old perceptions, the old ideas, so that we can be open to the possibilities of abundance and prosperity and you know, healings in all sorts of ways. One of my good friends, Joe Dispenza, you've probably heard of him. I don't know if he's been up to Alaska. I don't know. I'll have to ask him next time I see him. But he was in the movie What the Bleep. Do we know? Anybody know that movie? It's one of my favorites. Yeah, you can always look at that. But Joe, he wrote all these amazing books, Evolving Your Brain. You know, it was like this thick. When I introduced him one night at Mile High Church, I said, Joe, you got to write a simpler book. You wrote this very thick book, and I can only teach from this much of it. So he did. He rewrote another book. I love it. How to Rewire Your Brain. You know, and that this is where I got the one thought at a time. You can do this every day, one thought at a time. Rewire your brain. Trust me, that's what I needed to do, is rewire my brain so that I could be open to far more possibilities and begin to remember. The other person that is just a really good, not just friend, but amazing scientist, and it's Bruce Lipton. He wrote the book Biology of Belief. And what I want to share with you about that is that as you remember who you are and you change your mind, you've probably heard this, change your thinking, change your life. Well, actually, you can change your body. You know, when you start adding in the positive affirmations, adding in the new thoughts, you know, we have such a great label for what we teach, new thought. That is so true. You do know thoughts are creative, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're having them right now. You're thinking about the grocery store. Where are we going for lunch after? When is he ever going to stop? You know, I mean, you got all sorts of things. I know it very well because I do it too. And I'm doing it right now myself. You know, it's just our thoughts are constant. It's just what are we going to entertain? Who are we inviting in to create our life? But Bruce Lipton, in the Biology of Belief, he talks about how thoughts actually manifest themselves in our bodies. You know, Eckhart Tolle talks about it. He talks about how the painful experiences of our lives live in what he calls pain bodies. It's like our body has a memory of these kind of things. What I can tell you, though, is when you start changing your thoughts, you're changing your body. I'm a much different physical being than I was 22 years ago when my wife fished me out of a hot tub face down. You know, it's amazing when you live through those kind of things. You realize that there's a whole lot more to life than what I thought there was. You know, the inner critic, anybody have one of those? Those inner messages, that's that committee again. You know, it's amazing the kind of thoughts they're running through and giving you the opportunity to have. But, you know, those perceptions are just so powerful. And I asked Reverend Don if he'd ever shared this particular diary with you, and he said he hadn't, and I just jumped for joy that I get to share this with you. So, you know, speaking of perceptions, here's two different ways of perceiving life. But think about that committee. Well, you know, what are you perceiving in your life? How do you respond, and can you relate to this? This is called The Diary of a Dog and a Cat. This is the diary of a dog. 8 a.m., dog food, my favorite thing. 9:30 a.m., a car ride, my favorite thing. 9:40 a.m., a walk in the park, my favorite thing. 10:30 a.m., got rubbed and petted, my favorite thing. 12 o'clock, lunch, my favorite thing. 1 o'clock, play in the yard, my favorite thing. You get the drift. 3 o'clock, wagged my tail, my favorite thing. 7 o'clock, got to play ball, my favorite thing. 8 o'clock, wow, watch TV with the people, my favorite thing. 11 o'clock, sleeping on their bed, my favorite thing. Well, now some of us live with this dog. I've seen midnight roaming around here. Or, of course, maybe your thoughts sound more familiar to the one cat's diary. Day 983 of my captivity. My captors continue to taunt me with bizarre little dangling objects. They dine lavishly on fresh meat, while the other inmates and I are fed hash or some sort of dry nuggets. Although I make my contempt for the rations perfectly clear, I nevertheless must eat something in order to keep up my strength. The only thing that keeps me going is my dream of escape. In an attempt to discuss them, I once again vomit on the carpet. Today, I decapitated a mouse and dropped its headless body at their feet. I had hoped this would strike fear into their hearts, since it clearly demonstrates what I am capable of. However, they merely made condescending comments about what a good little hunter I am. Those bastards. There was some sort of assembly of their accomplices tonight. However, I was placed in solitary confinement for the duration of the event. I could hear the noises and smell the food, and then I overheard them that my confinement was due to the power of allergies. I must learn what this means and use it to my advantage. Today, I was almost successful in an attempt to assassinate one of my tormentors by weaving around their legs as they were walking. I must try this again tomorrow, but at the top of the stairs. I'm convinced that the other prisoners here are flunkies and snitches. The dog seems to receive special privileges. He is regularly released and seems to be more than willing to return. He is obviously deranged. The bird has got to be an informant, too. I observe him communicating with the guards regularly. I am certain that he reports my every move. My captors, however, have arranged protective custody for him in an elevated cell, so he is safe for now. So the question is how do you approach life? You know, what are you excited about? Or are you looking to escape? You know, for the longest time, I was looking to escape. And, you know, it's not, of course, about dogs or cats, although I love that particular diary. You know, I was one of our good friends at Mile High Church just made his transition this past week. I think it was Monday or Tuesday. And Wayne Dyer, if you had not heard, he had made his transition. And a good friend of Dr. Roger. He'd been coming to Mile High Church for over 30 years. And recently, he would only speak at Mile High Church or do PBS. So we all knew him very well. Just saw him last April. And just an amazing guy. But I love what he says about perception. He says, change the way you look at things, and the things you look at change. You know, the cat and the dog were living in the same house, but they had completely different experiences. You know, I'm fifth of six kids. You can guess the faith tradition I grew up in. Catholic. And, you know, when I talk to my brothers and sisters, it's amazing. It's like, what family did you grow up in? You know, it's like the cat and the dog. It's all about perceptions, right? And how does the committee get created? Well, the next two letters in my acronym today, I'm doing two at a time. I'm breaking the rules. I do that occasionally. But it's the ENN and renew. And what that stands for is to engage now. You know, one of the things I've noticed over the years is that the only time I can make a change in my life is right now. It's the actual only time we have. You know, what's fascinating is many of us live in the past, you know, over and over and over again. Somehow I'm going to take the past and I'm going to make it into my reality. Well, by the way, you can be very successful with that. You know, and all we do, hi there, good to see you. He's excited. He's engaged in the now. Yep. You know, that's all we have. So a lot of people live in the past or they worry about the future. Neither one of which will be powerful for us to renew our mind or change our life one thought at a time. The only time we have is right now. So that's the time we get to engage in. The present is the most powerful place that we can do anything. My mom made her transition quite a few years ago, but I remember that one of her favorite prayers lived on the Kelvinator refrigerator. You know, the kind of refrigerators you could actually put magnets on the front door? We have to put ours on the side now. The front door doesn't, it's not magnetic. It must be made of something else. But it was the Serenity Prayer. And I'm sure many of you recognize the Serenity Prayer. It's God grant me the courage, or grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Guess what? Those things are the things in the past. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. I can't change the past. I can worry about it. I can worry about the future too, but I can't change it. Now here's the one, courage to change the things I can. Well, guess what? That's right now. It's in the present. I can change right now anything. You know, it's an amazing, powerful thing to be able to change. If change wasn't possible, we wouldn't be here. Of course, here's the real catch-all, the wisdom to know the difference. I love that one. That's what Ernest Holmes talked about. There's a power for good in the universe, and you can use it. There's a higher power. There's a power greater than we are. The amen to that is all I can say. You know, for the longest time, my higher power was groups of people in a circle. And, you know, it was drunks and drug addicts. They were amazing, smart people once they got sober. Not so smart when they're not, but amazing when they are. But I have found over the years that we're the same way. We get in our circles of classes, and it's amazing the wisdom that comes out of our mouths. So the wisdom to know the difference is really listening to that still small voice. And by the way, what I noticed is I had to shut up the committee to hear the still small voice. When the committee's in full session, really hard to hear that still small voice. So what does it require of us to live in this now, this eternal now that Science Mind talks about, is the process, the tool, is forgiveness. So important. Forgiveness is what we do for ourselves. I know it sounds like something we do to let somebody else off the hook, but that's not the case. By the way, you don't get away with anything. You ever notice that? I know it looks like people do, but you actually don't. It carries with you. One of my most favorite movies about the afterlife is Robin Williams' What Dreams May Come. Anybody ever see that one? Nobody's getting away with anything. We carry it with us. You know, it's not often we can make a geographic move because all that stuff in our minds comes with us, you know. We carry it right on to Alaska, you know, that sort of thing. So it's forgiveness that makes the biggest difference. I love these words from Joyce Appleby. She's an author. She says, our sense of worth, of well-being, even our sanity depends upon our remembering. But alas, our sense of worth, our well-being, our sanity also depends upon our forgetting. I love that. But I think this is even more important. Judge Thomas Troward, one of the godfathers of New Thought, shared this with us. He said, past is not precedent for the future. That is the most important principle we teach. If you're looking to change your mind, change your life, become more open to abundance and prosperity, healing of any kind, if that is not true, I would not be 22 years sober today. I would not be married for 30 years in about 8 days. You know, considering the fact that it's my third marriage and the first two, you know, that was the addiction time frame. So, you know, life wasn't going so good. I wasn't very good at relationships. Well, I've learned, you know, not only am I married 30 years this year, but I have two great sons and a new grandbaby whose picture I have right back here. But, you know, none of that would be possible for me or for you or for anyone if past was the precedent for the future. The bottom line is you can change. You can make huge changes. I think I was talking to a few of you on Thursday night. Some of my best friends were heroin dealers when I was in my early 20s and had just moved to Denver. So I go talk at treatment centers now. And when I share that story, and I share with them where I've come from and now where I am today at Mile High Church, the operations leader of the largest church in our movement, speaking regularly, teaching classes, and they go, how did you get from here to there? It's simple. One thought at a time. Because one day was way too long. And I had to fire the committee. There was a reason I had to let it go. So what I want you to know is that you can download the new software. And by the way, that new software is the same as the old software. That's called Love and Possibility. You know, it's the one where we got to remember who we are, engage in the now so we can re-embrace the possibilities of our life. You know, when I was taking practitioner training, it was an amazing experience because I had people asking me about those past experiences. And did I remember who I was in the midst of it? And you know what's interesting is yes. I couldn't at the time. You know, they were blackout moments. But, you know, 10 years later, it was like I could remember looking at myself, almost from outside myself, and I could remember who I was. I was far more than the experience I was having. You know, spirit is amazingly powerful everywhere. You know, and that's what we do every time there's a challenge in the world, is we have a prayer vigil or we gather together. I became a minister 10 days before 9/11. And one of the most powerful things we did, I taught Beyond Limits that morning while things were still happening. And then as I left it, I went to our services meeting where we create our services, and the ministers were already gathered, the musicians were already gathered, and we decided we would create a service for that night. This was before internet, believe it or not. And cell phones were those things you hold like this and feel like a brick. Remember those? You had to plug them in. There was no way to tell our community we were going to have a service that night. And our sanctuary at the time sat 850 people. It's bigger now. Yeah, it's almost 1450, something like that. We had no way to tell everybody. And 900 people showed up. Why? Because just like you, you want to be together. You realize there's a power greater than the current situation, circumstance, or condition. So it's so powerful to remember who you are no matter what's going on, no matter what condition. So that's the hope I give you today. Is that that's why I even share anything about my past. Because if I didn't share that, I'd just look like some white guy up here in a suit. Like I've never had a struggle in my life. I've got pictures in my portfolio I could show you. I should have brought them. It's back when I had hair. So the last one, the last two letters of Renew. So fits Alaska. So fits what Reverend Don has shown me the last several days. And those last two letters are EW, Energize Wonder. What I have noticed is that when you remember who you are and you engage in the now, what shows up is that place we were born with on the love foundation. And so how do you do that? You know, you all have an amazing environment here. It's fabulous. One of the ways that I've learned, well, first of all, you get sober. That helps a lot. But nature, music. Theater, activities like what happened here Thursday night. And it re-energizes wonder. I'm getting a picture a day from my son showing me the wonder in my grandchild's eyes. But you know, nature is such an amazing vehicle for energizing our wonder. And I see it all over here. I see it in Reverend Don's sharing of his place up in Talkeetna. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Not bad, huh? Just takes a couple days. But you know, every place we visited, everything we've seen energizes that wonder. And it's amazing what wonder does. Wonder is the creative space where love and possibility expand. That's where we can transform our lives one moment at a time. What I've realized over the year is that space of wonder is where I have transformed, and I feel it every time I take a class, every time I've been in a small group, every time I volunteered, or I was on the board, or I participated, or I became engaged in what we teach around here. If you can feel the passion, it's because that's where I live. I live with a place of enthusiasm. That's why I could relate to Linda Steiner. You know, when you have passion and enthusiasm, the wonder just spills out. And, you know, that's not where I lived before, but it was classes that did it. I want to close with this story. It's about a recovering addict. He's 19 years sober. His name is David McDaniels, and I want to share this with you because I think it's very powerful to see where somebody comes from and how they learn to use our teaching to get to where they are. He says, I've been reborn and introduced to a new way of life. The old me died on November 3rd, 1996, when the New York State prison system became the power greater than me and did for me what I couldn't do for myself. They took me away from the progression of addiction and gave me 42 months to think about where my life was going. He says, at age 10, I would take sips of beer from the bottles left by my family. At 13, I began smoking marijuana, hanging out with street hustlers, doing small jobs to learn the ropes and be part of it all. By age 17, I was fully street poisoned, selling drugs and feeling powerful. By age 19, I was introduced to my first love, heroin. The love affair lasted for 17 years. I blamed everyone for my life. I rationalized my drug use. I didn't recognize denial or that I was unable to take responsibility for decisions I'd made. And it seemed like overnight I went from innocent child to felonious adult, accumulating 45 misdemeanor convictions and 2 state sentences. I realized that by emulating my role models, I continued to experience pain, misery, and suffering, and that my street heroes only shared the glamour of the game. What he didn't know is that he had a problem with his ability to deal with feelings. He says, before my release from Mount McGregor, I learned that I had problems that needed to be addressed. I was persuaded to enter treatment at Samaritan Village for 24 months, and it was there that I learned about addiction and was introduced to recovery as I know it today. And this is what I like. He said, recovery is an inside job. I know that I have to take responsibility for my actions. You know, I went to 12-step first, and 12-step taught me that, I had to take responsibility for my life. And then I found a church, a center for spiritual living, who told me I had to take responsibility for my life. Don't you just hate that? Yeah. No, I love it. I cannot place blame on others. I am not a victim. I am merely a volunteer. No one is responsible for my actions but me. Negative thoughts equal negative behaviors and results. Today I practice positive thoughts that produce positive behaviors and outcomes in my life. I am a full participant in my recovery. Today I'm committed to helping others find a new way. I am reborn. My name is David. This is my story. What's your story? It's time to make a new one. And that's what I want to end with today. In about 2 weeks, we're doing our first annual recovery retreat. And one of the areas that I'm facilitating is how to create a new story. You know, all of us can do that. You know, you don't have to be an addict or in recovery. It's just you could be unhappy. You don't like the relationships or the job or the lifestyle you're leading, whatever it is. But what I love about this teaching is we can change it. You know, it was such a platitude when I first heard it, change your thinking, change your life. That's the deal. I mean, our thoughts are creative. It is amazing what we can do. You know, Mile High Church was not this big when it started. You know, we're over 10,000 people now. People ask us all the time, how did you get there? It's because we kept teaching what you're teaching. We kept showing up on Sundays like you're showing up. We kept making a difference in people's lives and their lives transformed. That's how we grew. There's nothing special about Lakewood, Colorado. It's like, what, a vortex of new thought? I don't think so. We're one of the most conservative areas in the country. Maybe next to Alaska, but I didn't hit a nerve, did I? No. But you know what I'm saying? There's nothing special. It's just because we showed up. We got present. And we renewed our mind. So that's the invitation today. Just do that for yourself in whatever way. Take a class. You know, connect with your fellow congregants right here. Make a difference everywhere you go. So that's my message, and here's my prayer. Let's have a prayer. So as you close your eyes and go within, I invite you to connect in with that infinite source, the source that lives us, breathes us, makes an incredible difference in every part of our life experience. For I know this infinite source is present right here, right now, in this very room, in every life, in every breath. It is an infinite source. There's no lack, no limitation. No hesitation. And I connect in with that right now. And as I speak these words for this spiritual community, for all of us present this morning, I absolutely know that who we are and what we are about is magnificent things. That we open up to our favorite things, whatever they may be. Realizing that the love, the possibility that we were born with is absolutely the new operating system that we're willing to step into, to activate, to make known, and that we release anything that has ever held us back, whether it's critics inside or outside, whether it's feelings of lack or limitation. I know those right now are dissolving into the nothingness from which they came. And in their place is the realm of all hope and possibility, that there is a renewing that has already taken place. Merely by naming it, I know absolutely that there is a remembering of that essence and presence of spirit that has always been at the very core of our being. I feel it, know it, sense it now. I know it is activated in every person, in every situation, in every condition, every circumstance. I know that employment opportunities open up, that there is a flow of financial abundance for every person in this room. I know that the Alaska Center for Spiritual Living continues to vibrate and activate this amazing community in this place of wonder that is Alaska. I know the nature that surrounds us inspires us to release that which no longer works for us, to step into our greater yet to be, knowing that it is powerful, that we are powerful, that this community is a base and a place of love, of excitement and enthusiasm for life. I am so grateful that this is the truth, that I have merely just tapped into the vision, the image, the mission that Spirit has given each one of us and this spiritual community. And so I merely release these words to that power that is greater than we. That is the power for good in the universe, as Dr. Ernest Holmes so eloquently taught us. And so I release these words to that power, knowing that without hesitation it is already so. It's been the truth in the mind of God, and he and she has already embraced it, known it to be the case, always has, just waiting for us. And so I know this channel is clear. The manifestation time is right now, in this very moment. I give thanks for it. And just to invite us together to acknowledge the truth of these words by saying together, and so it is. Amen.